chat, because it normally leads into interesting things when we talk. So
just chat.
We just talk for a bit, get some, get some fluffing around. And, or should we just get right into it and throw him in the deep end?
Just throw him in the deep end.
Don't right. Scare me. It's the first time. You got to go easy and softly, otherwise.
You'll be right, mate. Just spit on it and grease
like
it.
Like we
just
said, mate.
Spit on it and
like we said, no lube, but it will be smooth enough. No,
two experienced person, one person here sitting the other on the end of the table.
Do you want to sit on this side?
Less of a podcast and more of an interrogation.
Yeah. Just spit on it and grab
that's
it.
That's it, mate. That's it. That's the way. Just grab it with both hands, bud. Okay,
just see your bite down on this.
Okay, welcome to Gamers Make the World Go Round, episode 19. We haven't got a title, but that we'll put this part of this conversation at the end of the podcast just for laughs. Today we have Brad.
Hola.
And Chris.
Hello.
Otherwise known as Mind Your Manners. So he's actually quite famous on our podcast, but we've
biggest fan I am. Biggest fan.
I'm James, by the way. And we are going to try and entertain you by talking about video games and probably some other shit too. Sorry about our absence over the last few weeks. We've had a bit of a rough couple of weeks with timing and all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Playing games than anything.
So. Oh, I'm glad you have.
one of us.
So, with Gametathlon coming up, we thought we'd try and just lube up a bit and get ready for it.
I've actually got a cheeky little shout out.
Go for it.
I mentioned... it's a family member of Mind Your Manners. Young Jesse's probably arguably our greatest fan of the podcast.
He is.
But my shout out goes towards his alter ego, Dennis, who I had the fortune of playing a few games with Dennis, and I was able to introduce him to old school gaming.
And he was. I think he really enjoyed that night. I had Luke. Luke and Edit, and myself and my little brother, little Dennis, go around to Edit's for a gaming night.
So is Dennis his actual like gamer tag, or what is it? What's
this is how the story went. We were having a what me and Luke like to call a logistics committee meeting for Alcoholicast, and we decided to run some prototype scenarios. So. Mind Your Manners and Jesse come over, and we were
Dennis.
Yeah,
you meant to say.
Well, this is how Dennis came about, because we were sitting there and we were going, well, let's do a round robin. We were playing Mortal Kombat 9.
Mm-hmm.
We go, let's do a round robin to find the.
For legal purposes, we all travelled to the UK to play this game.
Yes,
yes,
so that
yes.
That one night.
Yeah, my house is actually part of the United Kingdom.
That'll do nicely.
Anyway, we decided on a round robin, but then Luke goes, well, we have to use alter egos. He chose Boba Fett, I used Big Hoss, and we had Carlos. And then we looked at young Jesse and go, well, what are you going to be? And he goes, oh, I don't know, Dennis?
Sweet.
That's a good name for a podcast, actually. The Rise of Dennis.
Oh, I think that's what we're going to call it. We'll dedicate this this podcast out to you, Jesse, and we'll call it The Rise of Dennis.
And so then we went in and played out the round robin, and I was able to introduce Jesse to what I call old school Mortal Kombat tactics, which is find one guy with a very simple, unstoppable maneuver and do that repeatedly.
Repeat. When I was playing Mortal Kombat, like semi-competitively in arcades, we used to call it dogging. That's basically when you just pick a almost unstoppable move and just dog the character until they just have no energy left, and then you win the round.
I think every Mortal Kombat or fighting game has that one player that you're not allowed to use against another player. Mine used to be Sub-Zero, where you sort of go...
I heard about this Sub-Zero.
Yeah.
I heard about this Sub-Zero play.
And it's if I ever play my beautiful partner, she sort of always going, okay, I'll play you in Mortal Kombat, but no Sub-Zero.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that night got a little bit the same with Sektor as well. All I could hear is Luke going, you and your fucking missiles, piss off.
It's a good thing I wasn't there.
Yeah.
Well, and of course, me being me, found Noob Saibot. It was like a marriage made in heaven, because you push down, you push up, and he teleports up and picks the guy up and pole drives him into the ground.
Yeah, looking at the moves list, it wasn't more of what has the most effect, it's what has the least buttons. Up, down, I can't stuff that up. Up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down.
I did quite well for myself.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, we got, towards the end of the night, we got a bit more advent. You know, the one thing that was missing, though, the only difference between that and knocking 20 years off my life and going back in time to the first Mortal Kombat, the only thing that was missing was, wait, you just stand there and I'll just try this.
We still do that.
No, stop punching.
Yeah.
No, just what? No, back forward, diagonal.
It's always like
that. The only thing that was missing, and it's purely because we have the attention span of goldfish and we were just doing our best to annihilate each other. But
and it was fun because we got to see the, because we had the two screens set up, both on PlayStation 3s, which was good.
Which I had a problem with myself.
I'm sure you would.
Well, it was quite funny actually. We started off with a PlayStation and an Xbox, but there was only one Xbox player there and three PlayStation 3 players, so the Xbox slowly got pushed to the back of the cupboard and the two PlayStations took over. But being able to put Mortal Kombat 9, and then on the other screen we had MK versus DC Universe, and sort of comparing the two between, and sort of when you sort of play one-on-one on one game, you almost feel like the gameplay is very similar, but once you actually play one and then straight after the next, notice that Mortal Kombat 9 is just
fluid,
so far ahead of that. Now, whether it's the I'm not quite sure the difference in the makers. I know they're both Midas, but I don't know.
Well,
if they're...
it's I think what happened is MK versus DC Universe was developed by Midway.
I said Midway.
By Midway, but then NetherRealm Studios. I'm not sure if they were involved in that other one, but
they're not involved in DC.
No, so the NetherRealm guys are the original creators of Mortal Kombat. They're
right.
The creative minds, well, one of them anyway, and he went nuts with his vision, and that's and hence why it's been banned halfway around the world all the time.
Right.
It's
awesome.
For those who want to understand why they need an R-rated thing, all they need to do is look at Noob Saibot's Fatality.
Yeah.
Seriously. Google Noob Cybot's Fatality and just have a look
and
at
not
it.
For,
it
it's not for reasons that we find it offensive or anything. It's because it's ultra violent, ultra hilarious. It's just that it's a standout point that kids shouldn't be playing games. Like, if that game was to get released in Australia, the highest it would get is a 15+ rating. So you think of the average 15-year-old looking at stuff like that. I don't think they're ready
for
that.
Poor old Dennis at the ripe old age. How old's Dennis?
Yeah, 14 years. 14.
Very, here we are. We're obviously advocates of the RE.
Very mature.
Between Mortal Kombat and Luke Lord and Edit together, I'm pretty sure you have scarred Dennis for life. But it's funny that Mortal Kombat, I originally played, I think the first one that I got was on the Sega Mega Drive, and that game was actually targeted at children, wasn't it? Yeah, I remember playing
that one?
When I was Mortal Kombat,
the
original Mortal Kombat.
Do you think
so? Well,
I was a child when it came out, but I loved it.
I was 8, 9, and that was fine for me to play. So the acceptance of my parents
true.
You can play this game.
I remember getting excited when I first saw Fatality in the arcade.
Like, can you imagine handing a 9-year-old going, here son, you'll enjoy this game, it's really good. And then watching Noob tear Katana or whatever it is from the pants down. So... Yeah.
Or pants up, almost.
Pants.
Well, while we're doing the cheeky shout-outs, we'll give a shout-out to the gamer crew. We've got shout-outs for Pete and for Luke and for Tim that aren't here today. And we'll throw in a bonus shout-out for Dino. And just to give everybody the love, spread the love evenly.
Spread love.
A lot of love in the room today.
It's
hot.
I love you guys.
Manners, could you please put your pants back?
No, I actually prefer them off.
Yeah, it's hot.
It is hot in this room.
Yeah, so you guys had a good time, obviously, and it was a little sample of what's to come at GameTathon.
It was a good little preview. And we sort of went in there with plans to play 1,001 games, but obviously, by the sounds of it, Mortal Kombat took over the majority of it. But
well, I think ideally a versus game is probably the best way to keep everybody involved.
Yeah,
but
and then we moved on to the multiplayers. So original intention was to play Little Big Planet 2 together, but we ended up playing.
I think I was the issue there, because when I play Little Big Planet against Mind Your Manners, my sole purpose is to make sure he gets killed. And I don't think that's what the
game
is.
It sounds like Rayman is more the game for you, because you can sabotage severely. Oh, in
all four of us were just like smacking the crap out. Like,
it is so fun. It's
we weren't actually trying
hoot,
to...
Hey, such a hoot, that game.
We weren't trying to beat the level. We were just trying to beat each other up as we were moving forward.
Yeah.
And then we just, oh, that one's finished. All right. Oh, wait. Oh, now I'm a shadow running over there. Oh, now I'm back in. Now I'll beat everyone up again.
It was like a race to who could get to the end of the screen and then get there, set yourself up with a big, massive punch, and then not let anyone else get past that point. And so there was always just one person getting abused, and then the other three people just laughing at how much they're getting beaten up by. And the funny thing was, where we played that, for a good hour or so.
Yeah.
And then we've gone, okay, cool, let's play Little Big Planet 2. And I think it lasted about 15 minutes playing Little Big Planet 2, didn't it?
Because we actually got over that one pretty quick.
That's the only criticism I could really give on that Little Big Planet 2, is it's awesome on a one level or two player. But as soon as you've got four people in, because it doesn't allow, it doesn't track all the characters. If one character is out of screen, then that person dies. So people like Luke spent half his time dead because he was too busy collecting things while someone else was too busy
Luke and I get along playing games because we don't rush through the levels, and we're trophy hunters. We grab everything in the level.
Yeah.
So when we play Rayman together, it was like, we started the game together at my house once, and it was 100%, 100%, 100%, 100% every single level, which was awesome for me and him. But then you add extra people that maybe don't see the same sort of view. They just like to have fun and get to the end of the level, which is also hilarious, but can be...
I think that's the difference here. I don't think, like, we put it on, I don't think we put Rayman on in order to accomplish the actual level. I think we put it on more for a laugh.
Of course.
And it starts off with one punch, doesn't it? One person punches one person off the cliff, and then it's just...
Yeah, once you find out you can hurt each other, it's all over.
Yeah.
So it was like when Luke and I were playing Rayman, I'd accidentally hit him, unfortunately. I was trying to get to the end of the level.
A likely story,
you know. He'd hold the button down or whatever, you're trying to get to the thing, and I'd jump and accidentally hit slap or whatever, and send him flying, careening off the next ledge onto the whatever it is at the bottom. You know, it's pretty funny.
But I don't think we fully grasped. Well, I say I don't think we fully grasped the teamwork. I mean, I was doing everything I can to kill everyone. But it even came into, we were playing tag team in Mortal Kombat, and you would literally, like, mind your manners, is on sector, chest rocketing the shit out of you. And so you just tag out, let the other guy cop a heap of rockets.
every single time I'd have I'd be going into it. Was the power move the X-ray?
R2, L2.
Every single time I went for an X-ray, this one Houdini throw a smoke bomb, and next thing Luke's in there. So Luke comes flying into the screen, same while the big massive X-ray move.
And usually die because I've dropped him into a few chest rockets early, and then I'd come out and just teleport into Luke.
I've never had the opportunity to play a tag team in that game. So is it, can you both control who tags who, or is it like a...
No, so the person actually in the combat at the time
can only tag out. Okay.
That's
pretty funny though.
Yeah, so that's quite, you say, you know, you can see someone coming out, someone lining up a big hit, and it's like,
Or you wait until your teammates, you know, trying some of his delicious alcoholic beverage, and it has the controller sitting on the lounge, and then you tag him in, and then he's like,
Meanwhile, you got six punches later.
Yeah, you're fucking getting the shit beaten out of you.
And I mean,
you've got like one punch left of health. And then you tag out, and so at the end you can claim victory.
But then, like, we spend enough time, like, I mean, the beauty of the game now versus the original one, you don't have the book with the moves yet, you can just go straight to the moves list.
Yeah,
we spend enough time in the moves list that we could have read how to attack when tagging in.
Yeah.
But no one ever, like, no, we did it by accident a few times, but... Mm.
It's brilliantly how it does that now, because I remember when you used to play it on the old consoles, the amount of times that you'd have to Google, go on Games Revolution, whatever it is, to find a fatality. They're almost like an Easter egg in the game.
Hard to attain.
Like they didn't want, it's almost like the game didn't want you to know that you could actually even do a fatality.
Exactly. That's what a lot of time, that's what the creators were wanting.
Yeah.
That's what they wanted.
But now it's sort of like, obviously by popular demand, it's like, here's the list of fatalities, but there's still unlocked ones and those sort of things.
But like, you remember when, like, well, when Mortal Kombat 2 was released and it went stupid with babalities and friendships and all that sort of crap, and then they were all hidden and someone would accidentally, like, to do a friendship, you'd have to win the entire battle with never pressing block.
Yeah, yeah.
So you'd never know, even if you knew how to do the move, if you didn't know that little secret, you could never pull off a friendship and all that. And then that was stupid anyway, but... Yeah. And
blocking's for pussies anyway.
Yeah, what's the block button? You just disable it. Yeah, just turn it off. You can do those multiplayer codes at the beginning and you can just disable blocks or... Actually, we should try that on the Alcoholic Cast. There's a bunch of codes that you can input at the beginning. If you coordinated enough in that 10 seconds... You can put things like shadow combat or armless combat where no arm moves work. Oh, right. And you only have leg moves and your arms are just, they're just cut off and bleeding the whole time. Or like explosive combat where every now and again you just explode and it's cool stuff. Awesome. Yeah, they got all this really crazy multiplayer stuff in that game. It's brilliant. So,
what about Sheba? She has forearms, that'll be funny to see.
That's pretty true, but she wouldn't have any arms. She's like four stubs with like blood tank coming out of them.
And so, her teleport was brutal too.
Yeah, hers has always been.
Oh, the stomp. She'd teleport and then stomp on you, and you couldn't even block it.
We did have one battle which was Noob versus. So I was controlling Noob, and you were controlling Sheba, and it was just a teleport battle for dominance.
Yeah,
it was right straight in.
Down up. It's just all down up.
That'd
down
be so down. Frustrating on the receiving end, wouldn't it? Because you can barely block those things.
From memory,
Sheba stomped
destroyed. But I claim victory on the overall day when I finished on that fatality against your Sindel.
It was just ripped
it right apart.
Like, so you can YouTube these. I don't recommend it if you're like under 15 or whatever, but you can YouTube these fatalities pretty easily, and they're all up there. So that's pretty cool. So that was good. So Mortal Kombat obviously is going to be a very high game of choice when it comes to.
I think it will be. I think.
I was actually surprised too, because I'm a little hesitant on any game where a good button masher can beat anyone with.
Yeah. With skill. Know,
with so knowledge cool. and experience, but I mean. We just plum had fun.
I suppose it was the scene for us. I sort of went in there for intentions of. Comparing Skyrim characters and you know, showing Luca where I'm up to and getting hints from him, and you know, I brought a ton of games over. I even brought over Red Alert 3 to Luke.
Yeah, nice.
I was quite stoked to know that was on PlayStation 3. But yeah, it just ended up booze and button bashing, which is you need to do sometimes, which is awesome. And that's
We spend all of our time playing all these serious games with heavy hours and stuff, and we're, you know, constantly talking about how we can help each other with characters and hints here and there. Do this, your smithing will go through the roof. Especially when it comes to Skyrim, we're all obsessed over it at one stage. And
honestly, I've been exhausted from Skyrim. Really did exhaust me.
Takes a lot out of you.
And that's what I sort of in the last couple of weeks is I've put it down. I honestly haven't played Skyrim in about 3 weeks. It's because I'm just in that mood of I just want to shoot and point or button bash.
The banter
was
just.
Too good.
Hilarious. Like, who was it? Was it Kano?
Kano.
That had the choke out?
The choke.
It was choking. I think Luke was playing as Sonya Blade.
Yeah.
And he's choking, and I'm pretty sure it was Dennis, or no, it might have been you actually, and someone's going, what's your safe word?
Oh, why do you keep doing that? She's enjoying it.
I think that's what made it like that for me.
What's your
negated saying? Any negative feelings I had towards the actual game is because we were just.
This is pure
wailing
fun.
With laughter.
Yeah, they can be hit and miss, those games, because it depends who you play with. Because I've played with people before, and you know, they get defensive, they get angry because you're doing the bash repeat or whatever it is, and all of a sudden, you know, you're still.
No, you've got to be able to, like, if you've played Mortal Kombat, like, if you're in our generation and you've played Mortal Kombat since it came out, you understand that the game is fucking brutal.
Yeah.
And you never ever win if you play against the computer, you know? So you're used to just constantly getting wailed on until you figure out a smart way to get around whatever they're doing. And then it's even more so when you find, like, nobody is as wily as as a person.
Yeah.
And nobody thinks the same way. You can't program a computer in any way to think like a human. They just freaking go nuts. And they'll always find something, and then they'll also pick on your mental weaknesses at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
So the banter and the button mashing or whatever's going on, and it can make people snap. Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I've had people snap when I've played against them in Mortal Kombat all the time.
Yeah, when I was a kid. How pissed would you be if you got to... Who's the final guy in Mortal Kombat 1?
Shang Tsung.
Shang Tsung. Imagine if you got to Shang Tsung and he just sat there and squat and did the upper kick the whole time.
No, in the early one.
Swept you every time.
Yeah, in the early one, it was the leg sweep.
Yeah,
it was pushback, leg sweep.
Shang Tsung. Leg sweep. Damn you, Shang Tsung. Chain piece of shit.
Gordon was always the toughest person in the games, was always the pre boss.
Yeah.
The boss before the boss. Except that in this one, Shao Kahn is fucking impossible. Unless you're Liu Kang, but he's impossible.
And it wasn't the pre-boss, he was the half-horse...
I can go through a full history if you want.
Who was the half-horse, half-man?
That's in Mortal Kombat 3, it's Mataro.
Yeah, that's right.
In the original one was Goro, who's half-dragon. And then in the second one it was Kintaro, who was Goro's cousin avenging Goro.
Yeah, right.
Then Mataro, and then Goro's back in 9. I don't know about the rest of them, I didn't play the rest of them.
Yeah,
it's, I love MK Law. I was obsessed with that.
Awesome.
You know, one step further to that though, if you watch, remember the Mortal Kombat movie?
Of course.
Yeah. If the end fight in that was just someone doing a leg sweep. Yeah, it was a pretty good movie up until the last fight.
I know. Here's a question in the game, and you know, it came to Luke's surprise as well. I think he almost freaked out and ran away scared. What's the whoopsie?
The toasty thing.
Yeah.
Dan Ford, who's the actual person that pops up,
is
the graphics designer for the game back in the day.
Yep.
And I think they had an idea to just do it. And then they turned it, in true Mortal Kombat style, turned it into access to a hidden character. So specifically, that came in handy in Mortal Kombat 2 on the portal level. Do you remember the black level with the monks floating in the black portal? The red level with the black portal that went to the back, right? If you uppercut and you got that toasty, if you hit down and start in the arcade
version... Is that what he says, toasty?
Toasty.
I thought it was whoopsie.
Yeah, it sounds like whoopsie, but because the voice was bad back then, you couldn't understand it properly.
Yeah.
But down and start, you fight Smoke, who's impossible to beat in that game almost, but unless you're super good. But
right, so what, when we were playing on the weekend, because that came... That
did
came
it happen?
Up. Yeah, so if I did that...
Don't know.
Wow,
don't know.
Okay.
So we'd have to look it up and see where it fits in. It would definitely fit in somewhere.
Yeah, right.
MK was always about hidden characters. Like, you know Ermac, the character with the green skull?
Yeah.
His name was actually a mistake in Mortal Kombat 1. It just glitched. Every now and then, after a certain amount of hours, the game would glitch out and just say... The letters, the error code that it displayed on the screen was ERMAC.
Right.
And it was an error code, right? Error, MAC, whatever the problem was. And people just thought it was a hidden character. So throughout the Mortal Kombat series, that rumor grew stronger and stronger and stronger until the guys at Midway or NetherRealm decided, we're going to introduce him as a character. And come Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3, they threw him in there as a character. And they made him super powerful as well. So it was, all of it is... A lot of it's glitch related. Like Reptile is from Mortal Kombat 1. He's a hidden character. If you, it's so crazy to do this. But
back then he was an assassin, much the same as Sub Zero and Scorpion.
Yeah, there was a story about him.
They were in the same. He was in the same sort of
the Lin Ku.
Yeah, and then now he's a lizard.
Well, he was always half-ish. I don't know. Like I never really remember
could
that.
Peel it. I remember one of the earlier fatalities. I think he peeled his face off. Like
that's my favorite one.
And spit. Acid or something out.
Yeah, well, he does a few things. He spits acid in the fatality itself. He rips off his mask and you see the reptile face, and he sends his tongue across the screen and grabs your head and just eats it, pulls it off your body and takes it to him. It's freaking awesome. Reptile's my favorite.
One of
my favorite
characters. You pulled off the one where I think you pulled off the X-ray maneuver where he vomits down the.
Yeah, that's right. Opens the ears. Yeah,
no, he makes you vomit, doesn't he? He punches you.
No, he grabbed. I'm pretty sure. He grabbed this girl
and
threw
it
in her mouth.
There
was like some sort of Japanese erotic because there was a thing going on.
Japanese erotica? Jesus, man, what are you into?
And she certainly didn't remember the safe word. Colorado!
Mate, I love Mortal Kombat. I was obsessed with that game. I'd say it all the time in our podcast.
Mm.
Absolutely obsessed by it when I was a kid.
I must admit that probably changed my mind a little bit on the game because I was never that big a fan. But another side point is this actual game was the Podfather's copy. and it was the transport from case to console was like cotton gloves, no fingerprint. Like, oh no, we don't want to
look. I'm notorious for my being anal with all my stuff that's gaming, so that's just me. And I like, even when Luke goes like, we treated the CDs like gold, and I still pulled them out of the packet and I looked at the back and I was like, there's a fingerprint on this one. And I didn't worry, I just said I didn't clean it there and then, but I took it home and I cleaned it. So,
yeah, that's probably my bad.
So no, it's okay. It's as in all fairness, Brad goes, well, you know, we're getting pretty drunk by the stage that we played the game, so that's fine, that's understandable. I just I don't like when I go to somewhere and I see games on the carpet face down, like the data side down.
Yeah.
That is horrifying to me. Yeah. So it's just that I had a roommate that ruined a lot of my games when I wasn't home, because he used to be home when I was at work, and I'd come home and have all my PS2 games all over the ground because he's sampling them all but never putting them back in the right cases, throwing the CDs on the ground like he may as well frisbee them. So I evicted him because I was that pissed off with that. That's how bad I am.
So
treat the games with respect.
Treat your games with respect, kids.
Yeah, treat your games with respect.
Otherwise we'll send Dennis around.
I'll go all podfather on your ass. But oh, that's cool. So it's going to give us a really good insight to what's going to happen at GameTathlon Alcoholicast, especially because we're starting a lot earlier than you guys did that night.
Yeah, it'll be a good opportunity to sort of play a lot of different various games, you know.
Well, the idea was to travel through time, wasn't it?
Well, we've managed to, thanks to Dennis's help, we can go from Nintendo to Super Nintendo to Nintendo 64.
Nice.
Luke's got an original Xbox.
I've got the Mega Drive collection, so we can, on PS3 albeit, but so we can still play the 16-bit games.
I've got the Master System, and I've also got the Master System gun as well, with Rambo and Duck Hunt.
Oh my god.
Duck Hunt. No, I'm Rambo. So excited about you're Duck Hunt.
You're Rambo.
Yeah.
Rambo's awesome.
It is sensational. So I'll have to round that up. It's actually at a mate's place, so...
I'm seriously considering knocking down some internal walls in my house. Sorry, babe.
Yeah, it's going to be good. Like, unfortunately, my Mega Drive is interstate, so I don't actually... I still own it, but I don't have it with me. But I have 40 games for Mega Drive, some installed on the PS3, some on a disc, and they're all awesome. Wicked, like, so Streets of Rage.
Because I did have that, and it was one of the trade-ins I did for Skyrim, was that Sega Mega Drive...
collection.
Mega Collection. Yeah,
it's the same one. I'll never get rid of that disc, only because that's my childhood. Yeah, all in a CD, so...
I sold my childhood for Skyrim.
It sounded like a fair trade.
Yeah, it sounds all right. Look, man, to be honest with you, Skyrim took almost 180 hours, and it's still going for me, slowly, albeit I'll pay 10 minutes stints here and there, because I just don't have the time at the moment. But man, if I could play that game full time, you probably could.
Yeah,
well, like, we probably could.
Yeah, we've probably had this sort of conversation. I had this conversation a little while ago. Is that because I had a falling out with Skyrim?
Right.
I lost an hour and a half of gameplay due to a glitch. Everyone in Whiterun and Dragon's Reach wanted to kill me. So there's an hour and a half of gameplay.
You killed the chicken, didn't you?
I didn't kill a chicken.
You killed the chicken.
And I googled it. It was an actual glitch. I went out. All I did was killed a few animals for a few souls. And then I went to go back to Dragon's Reach to see old mate, my dealer up at Dragon's Reach for the soul gem.
My dealer.
And he... And everyone just wanted to kill me. And so I googled it and it says it's a glitch here. If you do this, everyone wants to kill you. This is what you have to do. So I thought, okay, I know what I need to do, but I'm just going to put the game down. And we had a falling out. Now, that was an hour and a half gameplay. Do you remember the days when you'd get all the way through Alex the Kid and you've put like 8 hours and then you'd die once and you had to start all over again?
And you would do it because you're like, no, I got there, and you'd remember every nook and cranny of every level just to get to the end.
Yeah.
Those were the good old days.
Yeah. No save games, nothing. Yeah. And here I am crying about an hour and a half of Skyrim, so out of... I'm only 80 hours into it, but...
I wouldn't say it lightly.
Yeah.
80 hours is a lot of time to put into one game. Like, these days, the average game is...
Two working weeks.
It's true. The average game is about 6 to 10 hours if it's a good, like, big game, you know? So, like, I was surprised when Uncharted took me, like, 13 hours or 14 hours to finish. I was like, wow, this is bigger than I thought.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, it was just... And then I started playing RPGs. I'm like, God. So I did acquire Fallout 3 and Oblivion as well, which I don't think I'll ever play. I just want to own them because I don't think I have the... audacity to
I'd
put that in.
I'd play Fallout 3.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go back to Oblivion.
Vats is pretty fucking hilarious, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Did I tell you, I started the game.
Explain to the gamers the VATS system.
I don't know what it stands for, but it's some sort of automatic targeting system.
Yeah.
And it in Fallout 3, so what you do is you hit the trigger button and it sort of stops or slows down time, and you pick certain portions of the NPC's body and you can focus your weaponry on. So, like, if it zooms into you, like a police officer, you can zoom into their gun and shoot the gun out of their hand, which
right.
is cool, right? That's
yeah,
the Red
that's
Dead
cool.
style. But you can.
But it gives
focus.
You percentages too.
That's right. It gives you percentage of success and percentage of how much damage or how much you're going to kill them by. So what I did, I killed my father in the game. I didn't even know who he was. I wasn't paying attention to the story because I was just playing around. And I used VATS and I had a BB gun.
Oh,
it's the first gun you get.
Right in the early stages, supposed to shoot rats.
Yeah, right at the very beginning of the game, you're supposed to shoot rats. I shot pretty much everybody in that bunker, but what I did is I... look, this is how I roll, okay? So I focused all my shots on his
leg. But he was such a nice guy, he kept to himself.
So you're actually shooting similar to how Max Payne used to sort of do it with the slow...
It's not like a fluid slow motion. It's sort of like... I'm pointing the gun at you, it freezes and I can pick which part of your body I'm
yeah,
going to focus fire
yeah,
on.
Right, cool.
And then I've got a certain amount of percentage that I can use. Like, the higher my VATS rating is, the more bullets I can use in
yeah,
that slow
cool.
motion thing, right? So I focused it all on his leg, just the bottom part of his leg, so knee down. And you press the go button and he goes, like, it's all slow motion, right?
Yeah.
BB gun leg, okay, cool. I forgot, I tapped it like 4 times. So then the animation kicks in again. By the fourth animation, with just a BB gun, the bottom of his leg just ripped off and flew across the room. It was hilarious. It was the most funniest thing. And my mate, another shout out for Gav, who's a very regular couch cop friend of mine that comes over and plays games, and he was in stitches.
Yeah, yeah.
He was like, you know, that character's your dad, man. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. Because I had all plans to start the game again anyway to play it, but I was just mucking around. But I didn't. I kept going forward. Fuck it. Let's see what your game throws at me. And then just walking up to random people and you know, it's just
yeah.
It's different. It's like just as visually spectacular, even though it's 4 years old, it's as visually spectacular as Skyrim is, but with guns and futuristic stuff.
Yeah,
so it's just kind of a different...
It's in a Mad Max type...
Post-apocalyptic sort
yeah.
of environment where...
Yeah.
yeah.
And you shot your father.
Yeah, I shot my
it's
dad.
Like a reverse,
I have daddy.
It's like
well,
a reverse Star
mind your manners
Wars.
Just
instead of the hand, it's the leg and...
Yeah, that's right.
Mind your
right.
manners
but
just went a little
it.
Bit psychotherapy on you there. He just
yeah.
sort of said, so tell
it.
Me about how your father made
I
you
have daddy.
Yeah.
I have daddy ears. Yeah, so it was...
I shot him with a
BB. It was fucking hilarious, but I haven't played it much. I played about an hour of it, and it was pretty good, you know, but then I started doing fetch quests, and I was like, yeah, I've done all this before,
yeah.
so... But I will play it. Eventually, but it's going to be once I get my platinum in Skyrim, then that's literally going to be put away,
yeah.
And I'm going to just try other games that I've got because that fucking every time I look at games, I just want to play Skyrim. Although I've been playing a lot of Xbox lately,
yeah.
So Xbox is pretty.
And what have you been rolling on that?
I'm still started Gears of War, got to the second like area, and I just stopped playing it. I don't know, I will play it, but I was just like, eh. And then I bought Shadow Complex, which was about $14 on the arcade store. And I'm about 10 hours into that. It's a fucking awesome
nice.
Game.
Yeah.
It is the most incredible platform shooter I've ever played. So
wow.
make
of
that what you will.
That's a big call for
that's
you,
it.
Man. That's
yes.
a big call
I've played
for
a lot
you.
Of platformers in my life, and I can't tell you that I've had so much fun playing a platformer than I have with this game. It's got everything. It's got, like, a wicked story, good voice acting, decent animation. Like, the game's from 2009, so
yeah.
it's albeit old, but fucking hell, it's got, like... Okay, so you got your 2D plane and you're shooting like 360 degrees, sort of, if you're looking at it in a 2D plane, like an L shape, and you can shoot all the way across that graph sort of thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then they throw in like 2.5D, 3D elements, so a character will pop out of the background. So the background's fully animated, like fully drawn and that. You see a character very, very far away in the background, you think, oh, it's just an animation? Nah.
Yeah.
Your laser sight dives into the background. And you shoot into the screen as well, so wicked. Such a great mechanic. There's underwater stuff, there's robotic stuff, there's, like, you know, upgrades in the game, which makes you want to play more and get fond of your upgrades.
Yeah.
And
nice.
It is good, man. It is. It got a 9.4 on IGN, and I totally agree with it. Absolutely.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, brilliant game. Totally worth the purchase. 1,200 Microsoft points. So whatever that is, I don't even know what that is in dollars, but I just was like, I have 1,200 points, I'll buy that. And it was a decision between that, Torchlight, and like Serious Sam was on there as well. I was like, I'll probably still get it, but oh wow, yeah. But I don't regret buying that, and it was like Trials Evolution, which is an awesome game.
So yeah, so last time I saw you downstairs, you're looking up, you're YouTubing that, so it's good.
Yeah, it's so fun. It's actually, yeah, I need to spend some more money on the Xbox, and I'm kind of scared.
It's not the kind of game I would have pictured you sort of playing as
a motorbike game.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm a motorbike rider, but that game is just, doesn't matter what you like. If you like fun, that game's, you got to buy it. It's brilliant. So I love the one thing that's really, really got me like leaning Xbox way, because you know, I'm a big PlayStation.
The controller. Sorry, the controller.
No.
Nah, the controller's the last thing I want on that.
Oh, God.
The controller looks like it came out of the
factory.
Do you know,
my hands don't sweat unless I'm holding an Xbox controller.
PlayStation controller's like looking at a man in the eye while eating a banana. It's just not right. It just shouldn't be allowed.
Oh, right.
Xbox, it's like a Picasso. It's like, you know, PlayStation's
awesome. A timeless piece of art.
I like it. He's had this argument before.
Ugly as fuck.
But like, you know, to be honest, I own more Xbox controllers than I do PlayStation controllers. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to get into that because I like both of them. I think they both fit in their own little ways. I don't like the trigger and bumper system of the Xbox. I love the L2, R2 sort of system on the PlayStation because I find that more intuitive with the full flexible bumpers on the underside. I feel like I can only hold the controller with I can't use my entire hand. I've got to switch my fingers between the bumpers and the triggers, where on the PlayStation I can rest both my fingers on each of them and control them individually. And that's just how I feel.
Yeah, most controllers. I've never really had any problems with controllers. Biggest problem I had was when the N64 came out, where they sort of based their controller.
You got to hold it to the side.
Off the Enterprise.
I love that controller though. It was the first analog controller.
Yeah, really.
Before PlayStation.
It was hard to get. But yeah.
It was hard because it had the three.
Yeah, but see, depending on if you played a platform game, you held it like a regular controller. If you played GoldenEye, you held it on the middle. That's so good.
I love GoldenEye.
But so Shadow Complex is freaking amazing, and so is Trials Evolution. They're just cool games. And Trials Evolution is four player as well. Like, so you're racing on different planes of the 2D.
See, the last motorbike game I played was Motocross Madness, and it was on the PC.
Oh my god, what a game. That was in the arcades, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was just open. It was almost like you just go wherever you want, do any hill that you want, do whatever you want. It was just...
Yeah, I don't get into those.
No, you don't get into bike games or car games?
You're younger.
Or Tony Hawk.
Oh, no, dang it. I love Skate.
I don't get into many of those.
Freaking so... You'd like Skate because it's simple. It's really, really good.
What are you saying?
You're simple.
Up, down.
I don't mean like it's...
Harsh, but fair.
I don't mean it in a derogatory term. I mean it that even I liked playing it. Because Tony Hawk, you used buttons to ollie and to do things. Where in Skate, you could just use the two analog sticks. So you'd use your left analog stick to steer kind of left and right. So basically, left analog stick was body, right analog stick was board. So if you press down, up, and you jump off with the left stick, then you could flick the board around with the right stick, and you just, all of a sudden, you're pulling off super crazy moves,
and
you've got no
experience,
and it just makes it such a funny, hilarious game. I'm going to go and buy it right now, actually.
Yeah, I was a massive Tony Hawk fan. I remember when Tony Hawk first...
Coming out the end of this month, Tony Hawk.
First came out, and I was in the days where I was right into my scouting myself, so it was a dream come true that I could finally do moves that I could never
do. I'm not ragging on the Hawk, but I just personally don't
like
those
games.
The guy's amazing.
There's a new Tony Hawk game coming out this month, in the next couple of weeks actually. It's a remake of the original Tony Hawk, so hopefully they're going to go
same levels for
warehouse levels in there, all the crazy stuff that we remember from 1 and 2. And then what they're going to do is they're going to price it sort of like $20 or $30, like in the low range of Australian pricing anyway.
Yeah.
And then they're going to release extra warehouses and crap like that as DLC throughout the...
Yeah, well,
sorry about my squeaky chair, it's annoying.
That's my chair, actually. And I'm a fidget, so if throughout this podcast I might get booted out and say, no, Chris, you're too noisy, because you can't sit still, because I just keep it to my chair. So.
But yeah, so... So
it's dancing. Yeah,
it's bad radio, right?
So what have you been playing? Anything else? Like, so was that the last sort of gaming thing that you guys had?
That was
probably the most exciting gaming that we like. I certainly haven't laughed that hard in like. I have a funny moment. I have to dob my wife in. She goes, I was almost going to, because she went to bed and we obviously locked ourselves in the game room and she goes, I nearly got up and asked you to be quiet, but I didn't want to be that wife. Yeah, don't be that wife.
Yeah, no, don't do that, baby.
Yeah, no, so I sort of pulled away from Skyrim and anything complicated, and so I've just jumped back on Saints Row 2.
Nice.
And because I've forgotten how close I was to actually finishing it.
Oh, cool. So you actually did pay attention to the story.
Yeah, so when I loaded it up and I looked at my map and it's majority purple, I'm going, hey, I'm almost close to taking over this town, so... having said that, I stopped the gameplay and was just walking around teabagging everyone. So this is that's.
I
this
love
is
that you can teabag in the game. It's
and
so
everything funny. Is sort of.
He does it so smoothly and convincingly, doesn't he?
Yeah. So I spend most of my time changing my character to either a drug addict or a teabag or whatever it may be, and going around just. The best thing about that game is you don't actually have to do any of the gameplay. You can still just.
Just have to break you there, and we just receive Morse code that. There's some new games coming
apologies.
Out.
Apologies. That's a six pack.
I'm just kidding.
Watch Dogs release dates move forward, what?
Oh, yeah, imagine that. Let's just start rumours. That'll get us popular.
Watch
Dogs out November 11th. Competing with Call of Duty.
Yeah, Bill Gates just letting me know about the next Microsoft.
Nice. Xbox 720 announced.
Yeah, so
PlayStation 4 called the Orbis.
I've just been on Saints Row, just running around doing that. Actually, play a little bit of sport. I play a few sporting games, but I've been playing NBA just sort of on and off.
Is that any good? I've never ever played a basketball game.
It's actually, it's NBA
Since, like, Mega Drive
2K.
It's just like NBA Jam.
Yeah, I love NBA Jam. Actually, I lie then. I like NBA Jam.
Things heating up.
It's actually quite frustrating because it's too realistic. And those old games that used to be in the NBA were so unrealistic, where your feet were on fire and you run around and just like triple back.
You know, you can buy NBA Jam at the moment on
and
PS3.
You could dunk from like halfway and stuff.
Smash the backboard and all those sort of things, where this one's just a little bit too realistic, but it's still fun because it's really accurate.
You can't travel.
The problem is talking about, being aggressive against the people that you play is because my partner... is a mild gamer. She plays games with me that she enjoys, so she plays NBA. But here's another thing:
she
my
can beat
partner,
you in a fight.
She's also very passionate about her basketball as well. So not the best gamer, but passionate about her basketball. So when I got NBA, I said, "Ah, cool! This is a game we can both play. You're gonna love it."
There's your first mistake.
So we jump on two player. My first real mistake was I chose the team that she absolutely hates. So I chose this LA Lakers. Can't stand Kobe Bryant. So I'm like, I'm going to be LA Lakers. I'm going to be Kobe Bryant. And then I absolutely smashed her in this game. And she got really, really defensive and really, really angry. And I'm pretty sure that's the last time we ever played.
And that's the last time we were allowed. Pretty sure that was the last time he was allowed to use the big bed. Sleeping on the couch ever since.
I do everything I can to get Nikki involved in gaming, but I just never. She's like, I say it all the time. She doesn't care. She loves that I play games in a way, in her own way. But she doesn't love gaming whatsoever. She has a negative love for gaming. Basically, she just doesn't care for it whatsoever. Until you get a game like Limbo or something that's really, really artistic and involving, and she'll watch. Or something like, Uncharted. She likes Uncharted because the story is good, really good. So
Cat's hot and cold. Mortal Kombat. She loves Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, see, you've married the right woman, right?
And the thing is, it's probably because she absolutely smashes me in Mortal Kombat.
I
remember having conversations with her, and her passion for MK in general rivals mine.
She loves
Mortal Kombat,
and
it's just like she's got fond memories of it, just like I do, and everything. So it's like we all do, I suppose.
And so Little Big Planet 2 is hers as well. She loves Little Big Planet.
I'm gonna start that. I've got that. I haven't played it yet.
But games like Call of Duty is actually quite funny. Trying to I don't know if it's
the second analog stick, man.
Is it, yeah.
That's all it is.
When it comes down to this, is this as soon as it's two buttons at once, and so I inverted it for it and it was more comfortable. But we went through the Call of Duty on World at War. You know how when you do the training level, you have to climb up the rope and then swing down. It's just too funny to watch. And she climbs up, looks at the rope. Now press X. No, what she do? Falls off. 15 times just kept on falling off this thing. So those sort of games she can't really get into. But
yeah, I don't know what it, I think it must be. It's the estrogen because my wife cannot control the Master Chief. Like, she will just walk him into a wall. She'll try and look around the corner and end up strafing.
Yeah, it's the it's the one time that, I'm going to be a bit sexist here, but it's the one time that, or maybe say, not sexist, but maybe, gamist in a way, where you go, if you're a casual gamer and you play platform games and simple-ish games, even though as awesome as they are, because I like simple games, you introduce camera control, and then things go out the window.
Yeah, exactly.
They just have no idea what to do with them. So that's
and it's not a girl thing by any means.
No, I don't think it's a girl thing. That's why I changed it to saying it's a casual gaming thing.
But honestly, it's because a lot of girls out there, that's their preference to gaming is not necessarily. Having said that, there's a lot of big gamers out there girl gamers that love their Call of Duties and those
sort of things. Yeah, there's plenty of girls that love Call of Duty.
But I know most of them I know they love their platform games and that's what they're used to and they.
Well, because a lot of the time gaming reminds people I know that the one of the reasons that I'm absolutely obsessed with gaming is because it reminds me of my childhood. And a lot of 90% of my time was spent gaming.
Yeah.
And that's fine for me. So I get all those same endorphins I used to get when I was a kid when I play these games. And then you get with the girls that don't... Well, not girls, but with other people that don't... haven't grown up playing video games all the time.
This is what happened, right? When everyone hit 13, 14, the girls started worrying about makeup and boys and all this sort of stuff and looking pretty. And while they were doing that, we were still stuck on Mortal Kombat.
Spot on. Part of us is still stuck on Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, I had no idea what girls were for the better part of my teenage years. They go through this
thing called maturity and they grow up and start looking at kids.
And we're worried about starting fires and playing video games.
And we don't actually mature, we just sort of stick in.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm still 15.
Yeah.
I haven't changed much.
Just better skills.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. I'm just a bit more learned.
I've just upgraded the reverse leg sweep to the teleport.
instead of my mum telling me to go to bed, it's my wife.
That sounds sad, doesn't it? Oh, God. But yeah, no, it's yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there. It's just, but yeah, when you introduce that second camera, it's actually not a conversation that's only common for us. This is a worldwide conversation that happens where people can play games but introduce that secondary control, the ability to use the environment as the catalyst instead of just focusing on the character.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it starts to go out the window, it just goes haywire. So we're used to games where we're now we play shooters, we do all that stuff, and we're used to using we almost use the left stick regardless of controller.
Yeah.
As you know you're going to walk forward if you use that. And you know the right ones to look around because that's just what happens.
Yeah.
And you use it like it's an extension of your body where other people just don't understand that because they don't play enough.
Yeah.
So, play more games.
Any mad gamer girls out there that disagree or reckon that they...
Chelsea?
Chelsea's an exception. She's a full-on...
exceptional Call of Duty player.
Mate, I'll tell you what. I actually had the pleasure of playing a couple of Modern Warfare 2 games with her because that's the only Call of Duty I've got on Xbox. That I borrowed of someone. And man, I'm thinking I'm doing well. 15 kills, 30 deaths. You know, it's me. I don't care about my deaths. And I look at the leaderboard, she's at the top. She's 15, 20 kills, 3 or 4 deaths. Every match, consistent. And she's she knew when the servers were wrong. She knew when there was 1 millisecond lag. She boot us out and chuck us another game. She's that one had lag. I'm like, what do you mean it had lag? She's nah, it was 1 millisecond lag, I guarantee. It was an American server. I'm like, all right, whatever you say, man, let's go.
And my lag is, if it's red, there's lag.
Yeah.
If it's red bar, it's lag. It's green, I'm sweet.
Man. Yeah, it's exactly right.
But, yellow, I'm doing all right.
But Brad said it, she's exceptional.
I heard she is sensational.
And props to her, man. That's all she plays, though.
Good on her.
Get on there, and I see her. She's playing Modern Warfare 3. It's wow.
Wow, that's
I've had that game since it came out. I've played it less than 10 times.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, so, yeah, well, I prestige twice and then I stopped. And yes, that's that button. You see, get to that prestige, you go, should I do it? Yeah, I'll do it. And the first time you go, you get to say, it's like addictive, you have to almost do it.
You're like, shit, now I'm not level 70 anymore, I need to get back up there. Yeah. And then, yeah, see, I did get totally addicted to Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah.
I missed out Call of Duty 4, I didn't have a PlayStation then, so I got totally wound up in MW2, and I made a lot of actual good friends playing that game. And then Black Ops came out, or whatever. It was Black Ops after that? Then Black Ops, and then like I was like, oh, it's the same. Yeah, cool, awesome. I played that a fair bit. And then MW3 came out, and within 5 minutes of loading, I was like, I've already played this game.
Yeah, you know,
so I gave up. I've had enough of Call of Duty.
The new one looks quite interesting. The
Black Ops 2.
Yeah, it's...
You know what they call it in the UK? Cod Blops. Because it's COD Black Ops. They call it COD Blops.
COD Blops.
It's pretty funny. Anyway, so maybe we should wrap up.
Yeah, cool.
So, well, anyway, this has been episode 19 of Gamers Make the World Go Round.
The rise of Dennis.
The rise of Dennis. Make sure you find us on Facebook/GamersMakeTheWorldGoRound. Email us at thepeoplesnoob@gmail.com or james@GamersMakeTheWorldGoRound.com or just jump on the website and leave a comment, which is GamersMakeTheWorldGoRound.com. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
And until next time, see yous out. That's me mimicking my phone sound.